Yo, this is Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, the world's greatest loopy and perverse and inaccurately named music nostalgia podcast. We're doing 90 songs now because there's too many songs. Pearl Jam, Jay-Z, Jewel, U2, Cher, Hootie. These are just some of the names people yell at me on the internet because we're back. More great songs, more rad special guests, more loopy perversity. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at Empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Chared.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your Sound Only co-hosts. Here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts, nearing the end of the year, 2022. Our thoughts about the millennial lifestyle, video games, anime, music, hip-hop, R&B. This week, a variety of subjects, including the new God of War Ragnarok.
Dun, dun, dun.
And also some games that came out a full ass year ago, like Resident Evil 3 Remake, which I'm
stuff that we got to ask people about, like, why are you doing that? You know, like stuff like that. That's what we got on the table this week, you know. But we were texting back and forth, the two of us talking, you and I and you, us, about video games that we've been playing in the recent past. One experience that you have decided that I just can't do it, man. Like, there's just no way, is God of War. And I am willing to allow you to vicariously live the experience.
Yes.
Of the return, to, you know, Norvay and Norse mythology. You know, that happened this past second week of November. Like, I kind of beat it in 3 days. The story is actually kind of short, but there's a lot of world to explore, much more than in the first one, it feels like.
You know what it is, listeners understand why Micah played God of War and why I'm interested in hearing his thoughts about it, but why I particularly haven't played it. There's a couple of things. One, I'm interested. Like, God of War is interesting to me. I have nothing against it. It is, I will say, listeners, and this is me being vulnerable, right? So, like, just listen, hear me out. God of War is almost a little too masculine for me.
As kind of, no. Okay, so, like, there is absolutely, that's absolutely 1,000% true. I actually, so, one of my best friends from school, TJ, like, he like was a bit of a keyboard warrior and had beef with David Jaffe on, like, forums, like, when he was in high school and shit, and like has not touched God of War for similar reasons. It's just kind of like, it's too, you know, metal rock guitar solo. I'm gonna sleep with the concubines because that's what gods do. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna drink all the wine because that's what gods do. I'm gonna rip Helios's head off because that's what gods do. Like, that's what God of War is like. It's very,
you nailed it.
And I think very like a stark contrast between that experience of like the first couple of games, like the first trilogy maybe, and like the PSP ports. Even the PSP ports, like, you know, like you actually meet like Kratos's daughter Calliope, and like he's given a measure of humanity that he doesn't have. That's actually in that video that I referenced a couple of episodes ago, Untangling God of War. Like that, as you know, a primary source from the story of God of War is used before like second and third installments in the major console series, like 2 and 3, like the Chains of Olympus and whatever the other one is that's on PSP coming, because it's like that's the first time that you see him do human stuff, really. Otherwise, it is like, you know, this chest-thumping story of I was tricked by the gods into killing my family because I was a Spartan warlord and I vowed revenge, and it, you know, led to me killing the entire Greek pantheon. And, you know, that's what the original God of War is, you know, like boobies, blood, beheadings, like the sort of like forceful, brash arrogance, like is what the character is defined by. And
but what's the gameplay like? I think I've never really had a chance.
Like the gameplay is just like very like. So they actually, an object lesson of what the gameplay is like is that one of the popular things that is back in God of War Ragnarok that was there in the first of the God of War reboots in 2018. But like a popular mechanic in the game is called juggling, because the way that like Kratos's weapons are made, like they're the chains. It's probably telling that I can't remember now if it's the Chains of Olympus or the Chains of Hades, but like the Blades of War, the Blades of Chaos are his weapons, and they are linked by like chains that defy the laws of physics, but they basically allow the blades to go out and return to Kratos's hand. But it's grisly, like the chains are like extreme with three X's, and like they're burned into his skin and wrapped around like gauntlets. And the way that like he does a lot of like spinning movements and twirling the things around and whipping, it's sort of like the whip from Castlevania plus like really grisly serrated blades on the end in both hands is what he has. And the way that it works on different enemies, maybe like the lighter enemies, is like you can reach out, plunge the blade into somebody and yank them closer to you, and then you volley them back up into the air, and then the heavy attacks can like allow you, as you're getting your combos off, to keep juggling these characters in the air until like, you know, they are no more, until they are fine bloody red mist.
That's some god hand shit. Okay, maybe I won't like this. Yeah, all right.
And like I can't really speak to the how difficult the earlier games really were. I didn't really have much trouble progressing through them, although like my reaction time was much faster and I had fewer things to do. Like I think that the 2018 reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it, from critics, myself included, like blocking became like more of a necessary thing. Like you kind of like couldn't survive without it. Much more so, like blocking in God of War specifically felt cowardly. That's what the combat in God of War is like in the original trilogy.
Yeah. See, that's a video game principle with me. It's like, I like to do coward shit, bro. So it's like God of War is too masked, too aggressive. I don't know what I'm saying about myself. This goes back to what we said.
I mean, it's also like the difference between the way that we played Elden Ring too.
Good point.
You were like, because you were like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Like I beat it, like, you know, weeks ago. Bitch. I was just standing around flinging asteroids at people. Yeah, and I was just like, well, you know, and then, you know, 4 months later, here I come with two katanas. And I'm just like, I did it, covered in blood. That's it. That's like, and the thing is that, like, I refuse to beat the game any other way.
No, I feel it. I love some coward shit. It also, but like, it also goes back to like that, the old thing I always say about my origin story with anime, where it's like, all my friends were into Dragon Ball Z. I was like, nah, Sailor Moon though. It's kind of like that is the sensibility we're talking about why. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know what, to take another thing, that game that came out recently was like Bayonetta 3. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's sort of like, I was like in the divide between Devil May Cry and Bayonetta. Is like, I mean, Devil May Cry is cool. I only played the most recent one. I played 5. But like Bayonetta, like that's my shit, right? Like the sort of drag influenced,
yeah,
like glasses witch like, hack and slash, you know, thing is like, that's my.
Well, I mean, like Devil May Cry is also only ever queer by accident, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's very, you know.
Or so it's Bayonetta, but yeah, to a different effect.
Like, to a different effect. Like, but anyway, what we're saying about like God of War being too mask, right?
For me, I'm not saying in general, but like for me,
But like it's a fair criticism to like, because I think a big thing like when God of War came back out in 2018 was like kind of critics finding like ways to write like really. Like there were a lot of beautiful essays about like God of War when it first came back out, because it was like a lot of like, it was a simple story about like grief that like confronted people, like people were like allowed to find themselves in it in a way that you couldn't, like the mass thing you're describing. Like,
oh, I know you have a kid like, in that game too.
Exactly. That's like, it's just like, you know, as a father of sons, you have to literally chill out like in this new one. But like a pointed like way of illustrating that might be like, okay, like the Helios ripping head off thing that I'm talking about. Like, I think I might have written about this on the Ringer at one point. Like, as one of the more unforgivable things that Kratos has done in his lifetime. If you find like YouTube countdowns of like wild shit that Kratos has done, this would be near the top, is like to get a lantern, basically. Like in the, I think it might have been, maybe it was the second game, maybe it was the third game, I don't really remember. Basically you kill the Greek god of the sun. Like you kill Helios by shooting down his chariot as you're like, you know, passing through this level or whatever, fighting different Anubis type, Cerberus type weird stuff, whatever. You come to this one platform where you finally use a giant trebuchet to shoot down Helios, and you come across him like across the map, crashed and like, you know, disabled, like he's disabled from the waist down, like helpless, and talking about how, like, you know, Olympus will have such revenges on you for what you've done and all your transgressions, and nobody loves you and you're a poison and blah 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 blah. And then you rip his head clean off. Like, I mean, it is like you tap the left and right bumpers until you rip his head off, and then that's your lantern for the rest of the game. So by contrast, in the God of War reboot, you and your son Atreus are going up to the highest peak in all the realms to scatter the ashes of your late wife. That's the beginning of God of War 2018. In the process of doing this, you and your son are climbing a peak and talking to each other, but like really he's just talking and you're just grunting, and like you come across two of Thor's sons interrogating like this man with horns that's like bound to a tree, and you wait until they clear off, and then you talk to the man with horns and you end up saving him. He needs to be saved by severing his head. Like, it's just like, I can't move around, but you can cut my head off and take me to Freya, the woodland witch, and she'll like reanimate my head with magic and I'll help you on your quest, blah, 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 blah. Basically, your new lantern. But also, like, in the second game, it comes to bear like your best friend, like in these new sets of games. But the way that it's done is very like, oh, like taking his head off is a matter of fact. And the camera actually pans away as you hear the axe fall. And, you know, it's very like, you know, I'm pretty sure Kratos says like, you know, look away, boy, like kind of shit. You know, like it's much more measured. And I think that a big thing in God of War Ragnarok, which came out the second week of November, like the big moments that I remember from playing it now, because I think I beat it a week ago now. Things that still stand out are the quieter moments where you see like Kratos's personal growth, like as his generosity, like the space that he has for other people begins to open up. And I really, like, I can't believe I'm saying this about a character that I watched like do all these other things, but it's like you kind of like you have no choice but to talk about him in this way now, you know, which I think is the real trick of the game.
Yeah, you know, it's funny what you're describing. I feel like in general with you know, let's say single player narrative driven video games, like the past decade, there has been that kind of rise of the kind of dad core narrative, right? I feel like The Last of Us starts this, right? Because that's like game where
where you get to the third act and you're saying you're proud of the character, like, you know,
yeah, it's like Joel and Ellie, Kratos, like. And I don't know, I feel like after a point, it became kind of fashionable to make fun of that or sort of like side eye, you know, these kind of middle aged senior video game developers being like, I'm going to start writing games like I'm a dad who just started going to therapy. But like, I actually think that a lot of that stuff has like worked out pretty well. Like, I don't know, I was replaying like Resident Evil Village recently, and and your character in that is like a loving husband and father, and that just by the eighth game becomes like he's introduced in the seventh game, but in Village it just becomes such a dad core adventure where it's like first person and you're constantly staring at this guy's wedding ring as his hand gets chopped off and reattached repeatedly throughout the course of gameplay. And like that sentiment, right, that sort of weird mix of like grotesque video game shit but also the romanticization of as a father of a son type beat, you know, like that's a real thing in video games. And I kind of respect it. I respect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, it's also kind of helped along by the performances. Like, you know, Christopher Judge does an amazing job of like in both games, in the first, showing like all these technicolor shades of frustration just like by the way that like one word answers come out or the way that like grunts happen or whatever. And, you know, like when one word answers become one sentence answers, it feels like watershed moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put that. Yeah.
And the second game is really helped along by the fact that Sonny Suljic, who plays Atreus, his son, plays is correct, honestly, because it's like mocap and voice acting. Like, I think listeners might remember him from mid-90s. Like, you know, he was the main kid in there. He's also a professional skateboarder. You know, he's having an interesting life so far. But anyway, like, he was, you know, the age that Atreus was in the first game, and he's the age that Atreus is in the second game. And like his voice also matured with that. Like, and it lends itself to the kinds of finer plot points around the kind of overconfidence that, you know, like you feel like in, you know, your past when you're getting past your tween years and your voice is deepening and you think that you know stuff, you know? Like, it's all that stuff is really well done in the game.
Yeah.
I think that, like, I'm thinking specifically of this one moment. And I mean, like, spoilers for those about to come, but not real spoilers, because, like, I'm sure that you know now that, like, you get to play as, you get to play as Atreus for a little while, like, in the game. Like, and there's this one moment where, like, the way that you basically gather loot in God of War is by smashing, like, treasure boxes or, like, moving really heavy stone sarcophaguses open to, like, you know, take stuff, like, things that, like, normal mortals couldn't do and it would hurt if you did that, like, type stuff. But Atreus sees his dad do it all the time when you're playing as the main character. So when he goes off on his own, he attempts to, like, smash a treasure box with his fist. And the animation is really funny because he slams his fist into it and then starts shaking and he's like, ow, and turns towards the camera. And it's, like, a really, there's sweet notes like that in it. And by turns, also, like, really gut-wrenching moments in the game, too, which you will... I guess you won't ever know about, Charity, but, like, you know, you could watch it on YouTube, you know, like, it's, I'm sure, like, it's, they'll have one of those stitched together 3 hour and 20 minute videos of all cutscenes, no commentary type thing. You could watch it while you're cleaning your house or something, you know, if you're not going to play it.
I mean, and you know, I do that. You know, like, most of the, I don't watch,
which is why I suggested
it. YouTube. Yeah, exactly. No, for real.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
On this point, right, like I failed listeners by not playing God of War. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, it's basically the time of year every year where it's dark outside super early that I revert forms, right? I go from being a person who's like, let me play the Saints Row reboot, let me play the latest games that are out, let me play Elden Ring, to let me play a handful of games that I have played 30 times in my life already, right? And it's like, you know, I was like in Mexico, I was in Wisconsin, and I came back. Like I said, I could have been playing God of War. I was playing Bayonetta 3 on the road. I like Bayonetta 3 so far. I won't say anything definitive about it yet because I haven't finished it yet. Justin Davis, J5, who I know listens to this podcast, tried to make me feel bad for liking it. I like Bayonetta 3 so far. However, you know, TBD, full analysis. But like, I just felt this urge to re-download Resident Evil Village, the Resident Evil 2 remake, and the Resident Evil 3 remake, right? And you might think this is months worth of gaming that you've downloaded. Like, wow, how far along are you? Let me tell you, I beat these multiple times. I know these games like the back of my hand because every year this is what I mean, RE3 Remake came out like last year, right? But it's like, I have those games that it's just like, once the holidays happen, like, I already know them like the back of my hand. And always what I do is I'm like, yo, let me play Resident Evil 3 Remake on Inferno difficulty. Not hardcore, not nightmare, Inferno, you know? Just like, just masochist hours, right? Masochist, you know, hours. Like, I live with my wife. I want you to, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I just, like, I can't be living like this anymore, but it happens, okay? We all relapse.
I mean, like, paint a picture for me. Like, with the, like, you know, like, how did the, like, what is the, is this just like you are, I mean, pure darkness, curtains drawn, zoned out type, like, I'm beating Inferno, or is this casual, like, this is just I'm walking by and snacking on this as I do other things?
Yeah, it's throughout that, it's the latter, right? Because it's okay. Like, it's not even that hard. It's like, I think the appeal of it too, and maybe this is why it's Resident Evil specifically, because like Resident Evil games aren't particularly long generally, right? Like, if anything, I think Resident Evil is like a franchise that people know, right? Like, it's zombies, shoot zombies, bioweapons, incredibly stupid lore. Franchise been running since 96. I've been playing the game since 98, right? But it's like Resident Evil, the games aren't super long, right? Because they're meant to be, they're largely meant to be replayed like pretty easily. They're often packaged in a way that like there are a lot of rewards for replaying them. There are tweaks to it if you replay it on different difficulties or as different characters, stuff like that. So they're the perfect kind of games to just sort of be like, I already know how to get around the police station in RE2. I know how to get around the mansion in 1. And so you can kind of just like, it's just like a good muscle memory. It's like going to the gym. You know what I mean? Like, Resident Evil games are like the video game equivalent of like, yeah, let me get some, you know, let me get some sets in. You know what I mean? But like with puzzles as opposed to exercise, right? You're just doing like these puzzles that are, they're not like the most difficult puzzles of all time, but they're these like really kind of quirky environmental puzzles. You're remembering how not to get bit by these three zombies in this hallway that are spread out in this way. And if you run this way down the hallway, you know, it's that kind of shit, man.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I need to use this ammo in it's this min-maxing. Hallway so that
yeah,
I have this
min-maxing.
Lift.
Yeah, it's exactly mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. It's exactly mm-hmm. that. And it's the fact that, like, I don't know, you would think, because Resident Evil are horror action, I guess is how I'd put it at this point. Like, start a survival horror, right? Where the point of those games is like spooky atmosphere, but they've always had a kind of like action movie flair to them. And really the tension is about how do you manage your resources so you can survive and keep fighting off zombies while you're in this really closed off environment. And like, again, I've been playing these games since like 98 and I'm a grown ass man. And yet like, I'm still scared shitless playing Resident Evil 7. You know what I mean? That's the one that's set in Louisiana. I don't know if you ever played it.
I never have, actually.
Don't play, because you're going to be like, this is not true to Louisiana. You in a house, and it's got a basement. And that's the first thing. It's like, oh, it's not Louisiana. It's got a basement. But
a house with a basement?
But yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about the holiday season where it's like, that's my comfort shit. You know what I mean? Some people like to watch soul food. I like to replay The Evil Within and like four different Resident Evil games. I was juggling four. You know what? Because I forgot. I also re-downloaded. I think this all came about this time because I was like, oh, they're remaking Resident Evil 4, right? Capcom announced it like a while ago. That shit's coming out in March. But it's just like, I think the first one I downloaded again was Resident Evil 4. And I started playing that on like professional difficulty until I realized that like that game I probably played like 60 times. I really can't. That game is just boring to me. I love that game. Like, greatest game of all time, maybe. But like, that game I have beaten as the proverbial dead horse. But it's like, I don't know, man. Just fucking playing horror games during the dark months is like, it's just the itch. You know, it's scratching the itch.
Yeah.
And it distracts me from the shit. Like, God, it distracts me from the new shit, right? Like, I become one of those people that just listens to the same, like, five albums over and over again.
Yeah, it'd be like, games. You know, hey, did you listen to the 2 Million Up remix? You know, like PZ got like everybody on there. You're like, nah, man, I'm listening to the Hyperlight Drifter soundtrack right now.
Yeah, nah, I was listening to the Katy Perry, Bon Appetit.
Oh, man. That made me sad after our last. Yeah. But anyway, like, yeah. I mean, like, I do understand that thing that you're describing. Because, I mean, like, honestly, I know that we talked about it a couple episodes ago, but, like, I really went back and I got caught up on the new season of Bleach now that, like, a couple of the episodes have actually come out. And, like the most recent episode, I know I said before that it was the coolest that Bleach has ever looked, but like it is, you remember how, like, you remember going to see Star Wars The Last Jedi in the theater, like the first time, and like the when Laura Dern turns the salvage ship around and starts jumping to hyperspace, and then she splits the Star Destroyer in half.
Yeah.
And the entire screen goes black and white and the whole
it's silent. Yeah.
Everybody gasped. And like, cause it was left there to create the, like, you know, this deafening silence of absence. Like there's like four moments like that in the most recent episode of Bleach, because, I think I already described to you like what the Soul Society is and like, you know, who the Soul Reapers are. It's teens do exorcisms with swords. There's a big society in the sky that has a whole big police precinct type of structure to it. And there are, you know, several different court guards. And on top of that, is this guy named Old Man Genryusai, like this bald dude with like scars on his face and a giant white goatee, and he's missing an arm and he carries around a cane, and he never like really, you know, like he never uses five words when three will do, and he doesn't like repeat himself, and he barely ever stands up, you know what I mean, like throughout 10 seasons of television. And then you come to this two or three episode arc where it's him squaring off against the Quincy King, and it is the, like, it's, he's not only did he stand up, he's pissed and moving around and fighting like it and saying stuff like it, and it's so cool looking.
Wait, who is the Quincy King? Explain a little bit.
Which part are you confused about? The Quincy King, like, being a thing? Okay, so the Quincys are a, like, rebel alliance of, like, soul cops, basically, the same way that the Soul Reapers are, except they're, like, the more traditional, like, it's, like, a city styled after, like, Edo period Japan type shit, and like the Quincys all dress like lieutenants in a Western European military like installation. Like, and they are like, we should kill all of the Hollows. We shouldn't try to rescue any of them. Like, which would upset like the balance of souls in the universe and cause the spirit and real worlds to merge, blah, 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 blah. They would bring about the destruction of everything because of their zero-sum policy to wayward souls. The Soul Reapers are supposed to be,
but can,
like,
I say real quick, just as somebody who has no context for Bleach, you say soul cops and said that, and I was like, damn, that sounds kind of fire, but also potentially kind of problematic. Like, are we defunding the soul cops? Like, I don't know. It's like, which kind of cops?
No, we're just letting them kill each other now.
Who's streets?
We're now letting them just kill each other away from Earth. That's what's going on. Like, so it's like, we don't even have to think about that. We're just going to see what happens after everybody kills each other. It's basically people exercising, like the title of this arc says, the 1,000-year blood war. It's people exercising 1,000-year-old beef. That's it. Like, it's there's no real, like, I can't tell you what the actual backstory of, like, the beef between the Soul Society and the Quincy's is, just that they are natural enemies, because I didn't read the Bleach comics.
Okay.
And this isn't something that I think was, maybe it was adequately explained in earlier seasons. If you watch Bleach like that and you know, like you can email us about it. However, even just like as a standalone, you know, two old men like getting getting up one last time to really like, yo, like I need to, it's like I was telling you before, it's kind of like the Gucci Jeezy beef where it's just kind of like, come on, man, that was 20 years ago. And he's like, it's been 15.
Yeah.
Like, it's that sort of energy. And it's exhilarating every time. Like, it's just every time that you have that sort of old pillar of power in like the world that never has to draw a sword, then has to draw it against his mortal enemy type shit, you know, it's going to be amazing. And then the way that it is animated is like, it's seriously some of the coolest stuff I've seen this year.
It's an exercise in 1,000-year-old. Put Ghostface in Bleach. This sounds like some Ghostface shit. Does Ghostface watch Bleach?
I mean, you know, like, I can't even, like, going into, like, how Ghostface, like, Gimrusai gets in these last two episodes would require even more explanation than I've had to do already, which would, you know, be, like, I mean, I'm sure that people that are, you know, on the Bleach fandom wiki and know about the stuff and have read about it are just pulling their hair out right now. But like, even if you don't know those things, like just watching it as a spectacle, it's just incredible.
I might check out Bleach then. All right. Okay. All right. Bet. It's like, I think I resolved to check it out before we talked about it on the pod, but it's like, I'm just all behind on anime shit too. It's like, Bleach, I gotta check out. I still have to watch the women's golf anime that I keep mentioning that I hope other people will watch and then email me about to make me get around to watching it sooner. But yeah, Bleach, Birdie Wing, God of War, I gotta get around to that. But that's all happening after I beat RE3 Remake on Inferno. You know, just to stick a pin on what I was saying about how you scratch an itch with a certain kind of game and a certain kind of year. By the way, my playlist, okay, I'm going to give you my spooky season through, you know, Groundhog Day playlist. It's like basically any Resident Evil game except Resident Evil 5, because fuck that game. The Evil Within 1, but not 2. Alien Isolation. That's the main Justin Charity spooky season playlist, right? But it's like, I was watching yesterday is a speedrunner, Bakba Soup, right? And Bakba Soup is one of the Resident Evil speedrunners. And he speedruns like a lot of different Resident Evil games. I think mainly I've seen him speedrun like Resident Evil 2 Remake and the original Resident Evil 3, right? And I hate the original Resident Evil 3. I don't like that game very much. But Bak hates the Resident Evil 3 Remake, right? He just doesn't like it. A lot of Resident Evil fans are just like, this isn't a good remake, blah, 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 right? And yesterday I had on in the background, I had on this like 6-hour video of Bakba Soup being like, this is my review of Resident Evil 3 Remake. And he's like playing through the game. He's like for 6 hours, just straight up just like dunking on this game constantly. But then you sort of, he's like talking so much shit about it. But then you watch him play it and you're just like, this dude knows this game in and out. Like, as much as he hates this shit, like even this game, like, he knows like the back of his hand. He does the final boss fight on like a hard difficulty without even thinking about it. He's like talking over it. It's just like, is that kind of flow? You just get in that kind of flow where you're like, I don't even like this shit and I'm a master of this shit. That's where my head goes, man, at this time of year. That's all I'm trying to explain. But yes, I got to finish Bayonetta 3 so I can talk about it on this podcast at some point. I got to get into God of War. I got to defer to Micah's interests and taste. I will play God of War eventually. If Elden Ring could win me over this year, anything could win me over. I'm being open-minded going into 2023. For now, though, listeners, feedback, future mailbag episodes, whatever, whatever, email us, soundonlypod@gmail.com. Email us about God of War. Email us about the end of Atlanta. We never talked about like the end of Atlanta. I wrote about it. Please go read my piece on the site about Atlanta. But Atlanta, Bayonetta 3, Resident Evil, whatever. Email us, the holidays. What holiday themed episodes should we do? I don't even know. I haven't thought about it that hard. Micah, you got anything else?
No, man. Just, you know, email us your questions because we do want to do a mailbag episode. You know, we're gonna do some beer and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, what's on your mind? What do you want us? What would you like us to talk about to close out?
What do you want us to talk about? Exactly. Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness. Yay, nay. Email us.
Joe Biden's.
soundonlypod@gmail.com. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Mike Peters.
Shouts out to our producer, Stefan Anderson. We'll see y'all next week.